is The Right Side with Nino Mangione on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Right Side. I'm your host, Nino Mangione, WCBM 680. What a week. And today we start the show with a heavy heart. And, you know, what happened, a moment that I, and I'm sure many of you, will never forget what happened this week. We will always remember exactly where we were when we heard the news. It was shocking. It was tragic. And it really marked a turning point for this country. This week, we all know we lost one of the boldest, clearest, and most courageous voices, really, of a generation, Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk, just 31 years old, assassinated. A man who stood unapologetically for faith and family and freedom. I mean, a man who didn't just talk about these American values, by the way. I mean, he lived them. He really did. He was so important to what so many of us hold dear because he was waking up a generation. Really, he was jolting these young people into awareness of the issues. He was pointing them to truth. So important. I mean, Charlie was a force. He was a sharp guy, so articulate. He was absolutely fearless, mind you. I mean, fearless in the face of a culture that wants to tear down damn near everything good and right about this country. He declared truth in a time of absolute chaos. I mean, he challenged the elites. He exposed the lies. He stood for the Constitution. But again, he challenged young people to think differently. And as we kick off today's show, I really want to take a moment or two to honor Charlie Kirk, a patriot, a leader, a man whose voice may be gone, yes, but his message will never be silenced. And Charlie, this is such a factor here, this point about Charlie Kirk, his bravery. This man understood the left as well as anyone, better than almost anyone. He knew exactly the threats he was up against. And when I say threats, I don't mean threats in terms of competition of ideas. I mean the literal threat of violence. He knew exactly what he was up against and what we're all up against as a nation. And yet he never backed down. Never. And here's the thing. Charlie Kirk wasn't looking for any type of physical or type of revolutionary fight, so to speak, when it came to his vision for the country. Certainly not physical. I mean, he simply wanted, ladies and gentlemen, all he wanted was a discussion. He wanted a debate. I mean, he challenged this radical orthodoxy on issues like transgender ideology, but illegal immigration, very outspoken about the role of Christianity in his life, or in his private life, but also in our nation's history. Of course, he would talk issues like high taxes and government overreach. But these are all critical issues that we as a country must be able to debate peacefully. I mean, you cannot just disagree with somebody and then go and commit these heinous, violent acts. But because Charlie was so effective, because he was making such a real impact, waking up young people again from the left's indoctrination, turning them into patriotic Americans, that is what made him so dangerous to these people. I mean, he played a major role. I mean, you want to talk about effectiveness. He played a major role in helping Donald Trump regain the White House. And he helped build that movement. And many could say helped, in essence, save the Republic because the Kamala Harris White House after Joe Biden's disaster. I mean, his work and his effectiveness, that's exactly why he's become a target. And Charlie knew the risk. He knew how violent and unhinged the radical left could be, but he still went out. He went out every single day, whether it was a podcast or a TV or what really became his signature, which was obviously the most dangerous of all. He appeared in front of these massive crowds on these hostile, or in many cases, hostile college campuses. And I saw an unbelievable video of how a young conservative guy is like, Charlie, it used to be the campus against you. And then he turned so many that he would go to these college campuses and have unbelievable, absolutely incredible support. Thousands of college students coming out to support Charlie Kirk and the values he stood for. But there would always be, however, very hostile interactions on these college campuses with the extreme, radical, fringe left who were filled with such utter hate. I mean, Charlie threw himself into the heart of the cultural war. He did it anyway, knowing the dangers, because he believed in this country. He believed in the next generation. He was willing to put his life on the line for the future of America. That's not just brave, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that's damn near heroic. It really is. You know, and off the air, actually, Jonathan is a young, he's our WCBM internet guru, and I think he's about 23 years old. And he told me how much he looked up to Charlie Kirk, how much Charlie Kirk shaped his worldview, really, as a young guy. And I believe it. And you hear that kind of thing from young conservatives all across the country about Charlie Kirk. And Sean Casey actually put it one way where he was kind of a Rush Limbaugh of his generation. And I remember, because I grew up listening to Rush every day, he was an absolute giant. A voice of reason, of course, a force for truth. And so many millions rallied around him, and very much like they did Charlie Kirk. And now for college students, I mean, that's what, for college students and young patriots today, Charlie Kirk filled the role that Rush Limbaugh did for so many of us, both young and old. He became that voice. But it wasn't just college age for Charlie Kirk, because he had these viral videos all over social media, his radio show, podcast, sound bites, were millions. He was getting millions and millions of hits daily, inspiring and speaking for millions of Americans of shared values. He was a leader and a fearless fighter for truth. And thanks to people like Charlie, we were seeing a real shift, especially in young people, when they were rejecting the woke lies and turning away from the indoctrination factories that call themselves universities. And they were finding strength in his values, our values, simple but great American values of faith, family, and freedom. And my heart absolutely breaks for Charlie's beautiful wife. And I believe he had two young daughters. And it's heartbreaking to even say this, but I mean, here's a guy, 31 years old, who will never see his children again. He'll never get to watch them grow up. He won't be there to help his daughter through her first heartbreak or celebrate her first triumph, to walk them down the aisle. You know, you've heard it before. They'll never get to hold their father's hand again, never get to run into his arms. I mean, that is the type of loss, the kind of hole in a family that can never be filled. And why? Why is it? Because a radical terrorist leftist who carried out this unspeakable act of violence, this heinous assassination of not just a man, I mean really, but of a voice, a leader, a father, a patriot. But what makes this so heinous and makes it even worse, unfortunately, is that it happened in the age of social media and just cameras everywhere. And the moment that Charlie Kirk was shot, the moment that the bullet ripped through his neck, all captured, shared with the world in real time, the blood, the chaos, the screams, it was heard and seen around the world, and they watched it. We all watched it unfold instantly. It's a nightmare. We're all living in this nightmare. And one his family will carry for the rest of their lives. And that is so tragic. My thoughts, my prayers, my deepest condolences go out to Charlie's wife, to his children, and to everyone who loved him. But that's the thing. Everyone who loved him. But this wasn't just attack on one man. It was attack, ladies and gentlemen, on the truth. An attack on freedom. An attack on everything that Charlie Kirk stood for. that we stood for. And God bless the President of the United States. President Trump is honoring Charlie Kirk with awarding him the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And, of course, flags across the country were flying at half staff, and rightfully so this week. And I say, Charlie, if you're listening out there, you earned this. You gave your life to a cause bigger than yourself. You spoke truth, you shaped minds, and you fought the good fight until the very end. And now, in honor of his legacy, I want to share a powerful tribute that was created by Benny Johnson. He's a conservative influencer, and some of his team, he may have worked together with Charlie Kirk at Turning Point USA, and they made this clip. And as you listen to this clip of this man, his words, his cadence, his tone, just reflect on the message he's delivering. Ask yourself, is this truly the man they felt that they had to assassinate? Is this the voice that they labeled dangerous? Listen closely. It's a beautiful tribute. You'll know exactly what I mean. Charlie Kirk, a very devout Christian man, and this tribute makes it known. But just, again, think about this. Is this the evil, fascist, Nazi that they want you to believe? Let's just take a listen to this wonderful tribute to Charlie Kirk.
How do you want to be remembered?
I mean, if I die?
Everything just goes away. How would you, if you could be associated with one thing, how would you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
I don't know if you know this, but everyone dies. It's important to remind yourself of that. That you face God, the judge, and he's going to list everything you did wrong in your life. It's going to be a long sentencing hearing for me. Well, you get justice, which is hell, because that's what we deserve. Mercy, which is less of that, which I'll allow the theologians figure out what that is. Or grace. What is grace? Grace is something so unique, so different, so profound. Which is, as soon as the sentencing's about to be ushered in, someone comes in and says, no, I will serve that prison sentence for him. I will go into the prison cell for him or her so they can live forever. That's grace. You didn't earn it. You didn't check boxes for it. You didn't go park cars for a ministry and that gets you extra points to go to heaven. None of that's true. It's that it's equally accepted for all people that allow Jesus Christ to be your Savior of the world, to be born new and to be completely and totally renewed. That's a gift that we must try to give all people in the world.
I mean, I've had an unbelievably blessed life. Been doing this now, it'll be 12 years on June 5th.
Such a young man to do it.
So young.
Yeah, so praise God. I mean, I've been all across the world. I've met with world leaders. I've flown in Air Force One, got to know a president. I have an amazing family, the podcast, Turning Point USA, all that stuff. And so you experience that and you're like, what actually matters? What matters is your relationship with the divine, your relationship with your family, your kids, and maybe a close collection of friends, and your relationship with the truth. And you could decide to lie all the time, then you become a tortured individual, and you know those people. You just turn on television, they're constantly lying, and they just become like disfigured either emotionally, spiritually, or physically. Because when you lie, I believe you're actually committing suicide of the soul. I really believe that.
Are you a Christian, by any chance?
Very, very much so.
Like, why is that exactly?
Oh, Jesus saved my life. I'm a sinner, gave my life to Christ, most important decision I ever made.
So you believe the Bible is real?
Yes, like, I believe the Bible is true and real.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, I could give you the technical answer. There's never been an archaeological discovery that has contradicted the truth of the Bible. And then, of course, the wisdom. There is not a truth of the Bible that if you apply to your life does not improve dramatically. And then finally, we have the most accurate and transparent, historically robust account that one can have of the most important figure ever to live in the history of the world, Jesus of Nazareth. And the resurrection is the pinpoint of my belief that Jesus did rise from the grave so that we may live. And for those of you that have not given your life to Christ, I could tell you it is the most freeing, liberating thing that a human being can possibly do. The most important thing that you can do, which is to be born new into the kingdom of God.
Beautiful tribute. I mean, whether you are a religious person or not, it really is a genuinely beautiful tribute. And Charlie, obviously, Charlie Kirk, a man of faith, as I mentioned, he absolutely lived by those values. And it's very important to note, he treated people, even on the other side, with respect. And he wanted to have that discussion. He did have that discussion. He tried to simply prove them wrong through an intellectual debate of ideas, and they would spew the most heinous and vile insults and vitriol at him, but he still kept his composure and would always be respectful. And it really comes down to that's the type, and that tribute shows the type of man he was, and he was that Christian guy living by those values. And Benny Johnson, his tweet said it, we wept bitterly putting this together, talking about that montage there, or that tribute, I should say. And Charlie Kirk, he said, did not fear death. Charlie told us what his legacy would be. His greatest passion was his faith in Jesus Christ. Just hours before he was assassinated, Charlie stood on stage openly proclaiming his love for Jesus Christ, unafraid, unwavering, and full of conviction. So again, I ask, simple question, does this man sound like some kind of Nazi, a white supremacist, a fascist, or a physical threat to any American? And of course he wasn't. We're not even close. The real issue here is that he was a danger to many on the left's fragile mindset, because he dared to challenge them to think critically, to embrace reason, and God forbid to consider ideas outside of their echo chamber. But the kicker is the unhinged, bloodthirsty hatred spewed at him. It's not just about Charlie Kirk himself, but it's the all-out assault on every value he stands for, his faith in Christ, love of family, unapologetic defense, I should say, of American principles. But Stephen Miller, he's on, we've all probably heard of Stephen Miller. He does a great job for President Trump, one of his advisors. He posts on Twitter, or now known as X, and this post, ladies and gentlemen, it nails it because it exposes the left's true colors and, you know, cheering on violence, gloating over these assassination attempts. This isn't just politics. It's really become a spiritual battle for the soul of our nation. Let me read Miller's tweet. It's perfect. Here it is. There is an ideology that has steadily been growing in this country which hates everything that is good, righteous, and beautiful, and celebrates everything that is warped, twisted, and depraved. It is an ideology at war with family and nature. It is envious, malicious, and soulless. It is an ideology that looks up upon the perfect family with bitter rage while embracing the serial criminal with tender warmth. Its supporters organize constantly to tear down and destroy every mark of grace and beauty while lifting up everything monstrous and foul. It is an ideology that leads always inevitably and willfully to violence. Violence against those that uphold order, who uphold faith, who uphold family, who uphold all that is noble and virtuous in the world. It is an ideology whose one unifying thread is the insatiable thirst for destruction. We see the workings of this ideology in every posting online, cheering the evil assassination that cruelty robbed this nation of one of its greatest men. Posting from those in positions of institutional authority, he means Facebook or social media postings, educators, healthcare workers, therapists, government employees, reveling in the vile and the sinister with the most chilling glee. The fate of millions depend upon the defeat of this wicked ideology. The fate of our children, our society, our civilization hinges on it. Now we devote ourselves with love and unyielding determination to finishing the indispensable work to which Charlie bravely devoted his life and gave his last measure of devotion. That is Stephen Miller, who works for the president. So now I have another piece of audio for you from a conservative commentator. His name is Matt Walsh. This plays right into what I just read, and you have to hear this because it goes back to my point, the values here that Charlie Kirk stood for. Charlie Kirk may be gone, and the lack of values by those dancing on his grave, but Matt Walsh has a clip. Listen to this. It's a couple minutes. It is absolutely spot on, fantastic. Let's play Matt Walsh.
When I see these rodents gloating now over the death of my friend, But I do want to say this. When I see these rodents gloating now over the death of my friend, I'm, of course, disgusted by it. Yet also, I truly see it as a powerful tribute to Charlie's life and work. Charlie had many friends who loved him dearly, many fans who adored and admired him. That's without a doubt the greatest testament to the sort of man he was, no question about it. But as a true culture warrior, it must be said that the evil gloating of his enemies are accolades in their own right. May we all be so successful and productive that our enemies celebrate when we die. May we all be so devastating to the leftist project that they long for our demise. May we all fight so hard and so effectively that they have no choice but to try to kill us. May our lives be a problem for these people and our deaths a relief. Let them dance on my grave as they dance on Charlie's. Then I will know that I did my duty. Our opponents should be happy when we leave the ring. If they aren't, then we didn't punch hard enough. Charlie punched harder than anyone. He did it with a smile. He did it through speech and debate. He did it nonviolently. But he was a devastating fighter all the same. And his opponents are overjoyed because they think they've gotten rid of him. But they're wrong. They have gravely misjudged the situation. The only thing more powerful than a living fighter is a martyred one. In life, Charlie motivated and rallied us to put on the armor of God and fight for what we believe in. In death, he motivates and rallies us all the more. I want to be very clear that we will not back down after this. We will not shrink away or go into hiding. We will not fall silent. We will not walk in fear. We will stand taller and prouder than we ever have and be louder and bolder than we've ever been and fight harder than we've ever fought. You know, they think they can kill the movement by killing us, but in the entire history of the world, that strategy has never worked. And it won't work now. I promise you that. You can kill a man. You can shoot him in the neck on stage. You can spill his blood for the whole world to see, but you cannot kill a cause, especially when that cause is nothing else but love of God, love of country, love of family. That cause is truth. You can't kill the truth. No matter how many of us you shoot, you cannot kill it. When I see these rodents gloating now over the death of my friend, but I do want to say this. When I see these rodents gloating now over the death of my friend, I'm, of course, disgusted by it. Yet also, I truly see it as a powerful tribute to Charlie's life and work. Charlie had many friends who loved him dearly, many fans who adored and admired him. That's without a doubt the greatest testament to the sort of man he was, no question about it. But as a true culture warrior, it must be said that the evil gloating of his enemies are accolades in their own right. May we all be so successful and productive that our enemies celebrate when we die. May we all be so devastating to the leftist project that they long for our demise. May we all fight so hard and so effectively that they have no choice but to try to kill us. May our lives be a problem for these people and our deaths a relief. Let them dance on my grave as they dance on Charlie's. Then I will know that I did my duty. Our opponents should be happy when we leave the ring. If they aren't, then we didn't punch hard enough. Charlie punched harder than anyone. He did it with a smile. He did it through speech and debate. He did it nonviolently. But he was a devastating fighter all the same. And his opponents are overjoyed because they think they've gotten rid of him. But they're wrong. They have gravely misjudged the situation. The only thing more powerful than a living fighter is a martyred one. In life, Charlie motivated and rallied us to put on the armor of God and fight for what we believe in. In death, he motivates and rallies us all the more. I want to be very clear that we will not back down after this. We will not shrink away or go into hiding. We will not fall silent. We will not walk in fear. We will stand taller and prouder than we ever have and be louder and bolder than we've ever been and fight harder than we've ever fought. You know, they think they can kill the movement by killing us, but in the entire history of the world, that strategy has never worked. And it won't work now. I promise you that. You can kill a man. You can shoot him in the neck on stage. You can spill his blood for the whole world to see, but you cannot kill a cause. Especially when that cause is nothing else but love of God, love of country, love of family. That cause is truth. You can't kill the truth. No matter how many of us you shoot, you cannot kill it.
He hit the nail square on the head. Quote the what he said there, the fate of millions depends upon the defeat of this wicked ideology. The fate of our children, our society, and our civilization hinges on it. That's not just rhetoric. That's the truth staring us in the face, ladies and gentlemen. This violent, vicious ideology, one that cheered when Charlie Kirk was taken from us. This, I mean, that is a cancer on the nation. But here's the thing. Charlie Kirk gone, yet his fight lives on. And when they gloat and dance on his grave, it's not just hatred. It's proof, as he said, of how effective Charlie was, how much he shook their world. And they're not just attacking him, but they're attacking every one of us with his shared values. And Walsh nailed it. This is our call to carry the torch, to keep fighting for the America we love. That clip by Matt Walsh, fantastic. Really is. You cannot kill the truth, he said. Now, I want to follow up, unfortunately, with the exact details so you understand who he is referring to. You know, the ones that are dancing on the grave. Let's start perhaps with what is the most pathetic. An article here that said Democratic and Republican politicians alike condemned Kirk's murder. Yes, right, that's a good thing. Although some in Congress, well, there was a disagreement about how to observe his death on the House floor. Speaker Johnson attempted to hold a moment of silence for Kirk, and then it looks like GOP Rep. Lauren Boebert asked for a point of order where she could have a moment of actual prayer, not just a moment of silence. And a Democrat yelled no. No, and a shouting match started to happen, and I guess Rep. Boebert and Anna Paulina Luna, a Florida Republican, both of these are Republicans, they started to speak out, and other lawmakers who appeared to be Democrats responded. One yelled, there was a shooting in Colorado. Another said, pass some gun laws. So there were Democrats in the United States Congress that had to shout down the idea of praying for Charlie Kirk's family after he was just assassinated in front of the world. Can you believe that? And then there were hundreds gathered at the Idaho State Capitol in Boise for a candlelight vigil that was honoring Charlie Kirk when this lowlife named Terry Wilson, who is the leader of the Boise Black Lives Matter chapter, I saw the video. It's despicable. He rode through the crowd on a scooter shouting F Charlie Kirk. I mean, it's such low-level trash stuff. Who does that with their free time? Then there are thousands, obviously, of comments on social media, Twitter, you name it. Countless comments. Just laughing and the joy and reveling in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Media, there were some reactions in the media that were despicable. Right after, almost in, well, literally in real time as it was happening. I mean, then you come to Maryland, and how about this? Get a load of this reaction and where your tax dollars are going. Teachers across Maryland, this is from Fox Baltimore, are facing intense scrutiny and calls for resignation after making controversial social media posts related to the shooting of Charlie Kirk. The posts, which have been widely criticized, have sparked investigations by local school districts. Well, at Forest Park High School in Baltimore City, a social studies teacher named Derek Chavez shared an article about Charlie Kirk's assassination with the captions, quote, "Wrong guy, but we'll take what we can get." Let me say that again. Quote, "Wrong guy, but we'll take what we can get." And seemingly we're referencing the failed assassination of Donald Trump. So you have a teacher at Forest Park High School saying, "We'll take what we can get with the assassination," then makes a joke about the assassination of the President of the United States. Disgraceful. Cecil County, a teacher at Rising Sun Elementary School. This is an elementary school teacher. Commented, quote, "Guess that's karma. Good riddance," quote, end of quote. And that's over a picture of Charlie Kirk. Guess that's karma, good riddance. Then at Salisbury Middle School in Wicomico County, a teacher shared a meme of Trump whispering in Kirk's ear with the caption, quote, "The Epstein thing won't die. Going to need you to take one for the team," end of quote. Obviously suggesting that the attack was somehow planned to distract from the Epstein stuff. And there's been backlash from this, with many, including the Wicomico County executive, actually calling for the teacher's resignation. Then rhetoric professor Richard Vatt said, quote, "This is freedom of speech, but people don't understand that freedom of speech protects you from being arrested and put in jail for what you say, but it doesn't protect you from losing your job if you're irresponsible." It looks like the latest here, school districts in Cecil and Wicomico have issued statements acknowledging the post, and they're confirming that the investigations are underway. Baltimore City Public Schools also acknowledged the post, stated it's being addressed according to district policy. Well, here's the thing. We're absolutely bankrupting the state of Maryland with this unaffordable and unsustainable Kerwin nonsense. We've talked about that before in the past, that the Democrats rammed down our throats. But our school system, think about this, churning out horrible results. Kids are not learning. Standards have dropped. And then you see stories like this, and it all clicks now. There's no real reason to scratch your head and wonder why education is a disaster. It's crystal clear when you have utter trash like this, these so-called educators that are supposed to be molding young minds. How in the world can we expect these individuals to shape the future of our kids when they're sitting there and they're analyzing like teachers do? A teacher is supposed to analyze, and they're taking their time, because that's what you do before you post on social media. You have the ability to sit there, come up with a post, analyze, and think, is this a good idea? And apparently they think it is a good idea as a damn teacher mocking a husband and a father, an innocent man who just took a bullet to the neck and bled out in front of the whole world, laughing about it like it's a hilarious joke. Fire these people immediately. And I'm not just saying that because, okay, what, I'm a conservative, I'm a fan of Charlie Kirk. No, that's not it. For God's sakes, fire them, because they have no business anywhere near a classroom. No business helping mold the future minds of Maryland and our country. Again, I said an elementary school teacher. Shame on them. And this is where your hard-earned tax dollars are going. An investment in this garbage. Shame on them for dragging down also. They are dragging down the good, honest, decent teachers out there who actually care about the kids. Those kids, the kids deserve better. We sure as hell deserve better as well as taxpayers. Clean house, get rid of this trash. But it's not there. Prince George County, they had a police officer. Seven News confirms one of their officers facing an internal investigation over a social media post regarding the death of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Says the post was shared on Libs of TikTok, a conservative social media account known for targeting people on the left. His name was Officer Adam Malake. He reads, quote, "When you're spewing hate, hate will eventually rear its head and find you." Now, it's a little bit different. Well, is it really different? I don't know. I got to ask myself. It's another taxpayer-funded position where, I'll just say this, I'm not sure a police officer mocking Kirk's death is the type of public safety officer we want out there protecting the public. When he thinks that, and he makes the comparison that 75 million people, basically, who or more, who generally support the values that Kirk does, are considered full of hate and downplaying the murder. Think about that. Would you want, if you have a Trump sign on your yard, you think this is the type of officer you want coming to your house to help you in an emergency? Pretty bad display from this officer, Malachi. Less than 24 hours after Charlie Kirk was gunned down, there was his representative in Congress, Representative Democrat Rep. Seth Moulton. You're not going to believe this. He attacks, quote, right-wing extremism as the cause of the vast majority of political violence in this country. I mean, listen, I'm speechless. Just listen to this audio. Let's play Seth Moulton.
We all need to turn down the rhetoric. So let's be serious about where this violence is coming from. Of extremist violent attacks in America, extremist violent murders, 76% are from right-wing extremists, 4% are from left-wing extremists. I condemn that 4%. But we also need to be honest about, as a nation, about where this violence is coming from. And oh, by the way, it's probably an appropriate time to talk about guns, too. You hear a lot of conservatives saying, hey, the only thing we need to do here is get more guns on the street. That's not going to solve this problem. That's going to make it worse.
So he is saying we need to turn down the temperature, which we all agree. But then, without missing a beat, he launches into an attack on the right and is making a claim that right-wingers are causing 76%, I guess, of political violence. I mean, am I missing something here? 76% of right-wingers. I mean, they almost assassinated Trump twice. You just had this with Charlie Kirk. We saw, remember the softball shooting where Steve Scalise, unless I'm missing something, I have not seen any right-wingers out there assassinating Democrat politicians. But that's also the problem here as well, is that they label normal, everyday people with a different point of view as right-wingers, right? They lump them in with the actual bad actors and trying to make it seem as if they're one of the same. But regardless, meanwhile, the violent left, who has a track record a mile long, not just with the actual violence, but the riots, the assaults, threats. Then he goes on about guns. I mean, this guy who actually killed Charlie Kirk had written on one of the bullet casings, "Hey, fascist, catch," right on the bullet casing. And I wonder where he heard that from, Mr. Moulton. Maybe it's from you guys calling Trump Hitler and fascist every chance you get. Mainstream Democrat politicians, not just Twitter warriors, calling them a threat to democracy every 5 minutes. That's not good for toning down the rhetoric. It's certainly not good for Trump supporters out there when they're being labeled fascist. I have another clip here of Ilhan Omar. Let's see if we can play Ilhan Omar.
What I do know for sure is that, you know, Charlie was someone who once said, you know, guns save lives after a school shooting. Yeah. Charlie was someone who was willing to debate and downplay the death of George Floyd in the hands of Minneapolis police.
I think he called him a scumbag.
Right, have no regard, downplay slavery and what black people have gone through in this country by saying Juneteenth should never exist. And I think, you know, there are a lot of people who are out there talking about him just wanting to have a civil debate.
Complete rewriting of history.
Yeah, there is nothing more effed up, you know, like than to completely pretend that, you know, his words and actions have not been recorded and in existence for the last decade or so.
Ilhan Omar dancing on Charlie's grave, sad, classless, of course, twisting his words, taking him out of context. I mean, real brave when he's not allowed to respond, Ilhan. But unfortunately, we've ran out of time. Thank you all for listening, and have a great coming week. Nino Mangione here, WCBM.